Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We can go back now to Clarissa Ward, Chief International Correspondent with CNN. And Clarissa, you were telling us about this response from the United States to Moscow. It is confidential, but what do we know about what's in there and what's not?
So we know on the issue of what the U.S. has called non-starters, which is the idea that NATO would cease its open door policy, therefore Ukraine would never be able to apply for NATO membership, and also on Russia's demand that NATO troops and weaponry are withdrawn from all countries that joined the Union after 1997. We know that there is no movement on those issues. There are no concessions on those issues. The U.S. did outline several areas where they do believe that there could be cooperation with Russia: increased transparency, military exercises and maneuvers, arms control. But I should say, Claire, we've already just heard from Russia's foreign ministry, Sergei Lavrov, who has said, you know, they've received the written text, that President Putin has looked over it, and that, you know, the response so far doesn't appear to be very positive on the primary concern of the Russians, which is, of course, this NATO open door policy and Ukraine's potentially ability to join the Union at some point.
You interviewed the Ukrainian foreign minister. What did he have to say to you about the negotiations that are ongoing?
So Ukraine has, they privately have expressed some issues with the U.S.'s messaging around this whole crisis. They don't believe that a full-on military invasion is imminent or even possible at this stage. But then at the same time, they also want to convey this image of being in lockstep with the U.S., of being very grateful for the U.S.'s support. The foreign minister said that he had seen the document before the Americans sent it to the Russians, that, you know, essentially they had had a part to play in the writing of it, and that, you know, he thought it was the right move and well thought out and coherent and well argued. But essentially, one can't really avoid the reality that Ukraine is in an awkward position here, because it's Ukraine's future that we're talking about, but they don't have a seat at the negotiating table at this stage. This really is about outside powers in outside countries negotiating what ultimately will almost certainly have a big impact here in Ukraine.
And how does he suggest the West deals with Vladimir Putin?
So the Ukrainians, for the most part, want to see the West take a very robust approach to dealing with Vladimir Putin. They want to see sanctions levied, not the threat of sanctions held up as a deterrent, but sanctions imposed immediately as a sort of punishment for the chaos that's already been created by this crisis. They want to see more weaponry coming to the U.S. And I should say, since I've been here, there have been shipments arriving almost every other night with hundreds of thousands of pounds of U.S. weapons, including in the last shipment, nearly 300 tank armor-piercing Javelin missiles. So the U.S. has been supplying a lot of weapons, and they've earmarked $200 million. There will be more weapons. But there's even been talk that one Ukrainian official told CNN that they'd like to actually receive Patriot missiles. That's not going to happen, or at least not any time in the near future.
Mm-hmm. And they're content with that level of support, or are they calling for more? Is the suggestion from Ukraine, from the contacts that you have, are they saying this works, this show of strength works, it gets through to Russia?
I think in the last week, when you have seen the U.S. really double down and talk about sending up to 8,500 troops to Eastern Europe to bolster NATO forces, when you've seen them talking tough about the sanctions and really forming a much more coherent response about what kind of retaliation or retribution Russia can expect, whether it goes whole-scale invasion, whether it goes one man crossing the border in an aggressive manner, I think given that in the last week and the U.S.'s much tougher approach, the Ukrainians are happy. But there's also a sense that they kind of want to have their cake and eat it too, Claire, because they want that full-throated support. They want the aggressive stance against the Russians, but they don't want to panic their own people. They don't want to affect foreign investment. And so they're asking really for a much calmer tone and much less talk about a full-scale military invasion. Well, America also, if it's going to potentially be involved in a war, has to explain to its, you know, people why this is important and what's at stake. And so if they try to minimize the threat of an all-out invasion, then, of course, that doesn't work for, you know, President Biden's own domestic political needs.
Yeah, it becomes difficult for President Biden to justify the spend and the focus at home if you don't outline to people what the threat is. I mean, it's really interesting because we've spoken to a number of correspondents who are based in Kiev over the course of the week, and they were telling us just how calm everybody is. You know, people are taking small measures to address this threat, but there's no panic there. And we hear more rhetoric about what might happen in this part of the world than we do coming from there. Would you agree?
I definitely agree. And I think it's important, you know, for your listeners to understand that this isn't something new for Ukraine. The threat of Russian aggression and war is something that Ukraine has been living with now for 8 years. And that does change you as a people. You do have a sort of higher tolerance for this type of situation. That doesn't mean people don't have anxiety. That doesn't mean they don't think about what they would do in X, Y, or Z situation. But what it tends to mean is that until shells are being fired across that border, or until there is something substantive and tangible to worry about, people get on with their lives. And the other thing that's important to remember is this country is in the grips of, you know, a very serious economic situation. People really struggle here. And that, for many, is really the primary concern at the moment, putting food on the table, being able to give your kids a better life. And then if fighting starts, okay, you can worry about that too. But it's secondary at this stage.
Once this situation plays out, the suggestions that have come from Russia, the response then from the United States, where does this go from here? What are the next steps?
So ostensibly, depending on how President Putin takes this written response, there would be another meeting at a sort of ministerial level, potentially between Secretary of State Antony Blinken and his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, again. And then there was even the possibility floated by Blinken of another potential meeting between President Biden and President Putin. But that is only if you take the Russians at their word and understand or believe that they're entering into this diplomatic process in good faith. If they're using it as a diversion or a delay tactic or to sort of give them a fig leaf to say, oh, look, we tried diplomacy and it didn't work, then of course all bets are off. And I would just say that it's a little bit concerning to hear the Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov say, well, this written statement doesn't really deal with or address our primary concerns, and so we can't have a positive response to it. That sounds a bit ominous. President Putin's spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, sounded a little bit more optimistic, or a little more neutral, shall we say. He said, though, that one shouldn't expect a response to these written statements before next week. So I think the diplomatic process will grind on for at least another week or two. But nobody, and I'm sure you've heard this many times now, Claire, with all the people you've been talking to, nobody really knows what is going to happen except one man, President Vladimir Putin. And it's entirely possible at this stage that he, too, has not yet decided what course of action he's going to pursue.
Clarissa Ward, thank you very much indeed. CNN Chief International Correspondent, and Clarissa is in Ukraine reporting on that ongoing conflict and the potential for conflict and the increasing tensions. We'll take a break.